Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
1, 2, get out of the corner.
4, corner bucko.
Welcome everyone, this is DJ Impact, my premiere episode titled 4 Corner Buckle up under the Vegas Bad Boys brand. This is a different type of show that I'm doing that's going to bring 4 individuals that's going to try to put me in the corner. Now after the ref hit the 5 count and go ahead and disqualify, I'm on to the next. It's a new concept type of show. I hope that you enjoy it. If you want to be a part of it as well, all you got to do is hit us up at the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting at Gmail or even our social media sites, which we're on all of them pretty much, and let me know you want to be on the show, okay? With that, let's get to our first.
I want a clean fight between you two, all right? You ready? Stay out of the corner. And stay off the buckle.
All right. Who we have on the line here. You guys have had it. You've heard them on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast sometime about last year. This guy designed most of the WWE games that you enjoyed with THQ and some of them with 2K. But right now, he's going to try to put me in a corner. So I'm going to see what he's got. You want to talk about The Fiend, Brian. What's up, man? How you doing?
What up, Impact? How you doing, man? I appreciate that intro.
Yes.
And I had nothing to do with WWE 2K20. Just want to put that out there right now. Just before we get into discussing The Fiend, my company and myself, just putting that out there.
I understand. You should have that disclaimer because it was horrible. All right.
Yes.
What you got, man? What you going to do?
Okay, so we're discussing The Fiend.
Yeah.
Now, before I get into, my main gripe about this character.
Sure.
I am only, my critique and my feedback about this is only the character. I'm not talking about the man who's portraying this character.
Sure.
I think he is a talented individual.
Yes.
But for me.
Yeah.
The Fiend, just as creative as it is, and mm-hmm. I give Bray Wyatt a ton of credit. He's one of the most creative mm-hmm. performers within the WWE, and the guy puts his all into everything that he's involved in.
So, absolutely.
I tip of the hat to that.
Yep.
It doesn't fit within the confines of pro wrestling. And I will admit readily that those Firefly Funhouse segments, those pre-tapes, were probably the best parts of any given Raw that they were part of, because Raw was so bad at the time.
Okay.
But even though they might have been enjoyable, for me, I just kept thinking to myself, okay, well, how does this equate to getting into a ring and wrestling? To get, and for what? I couldn't figure out how you take this character and you put him in the ring, because it seems so divorced.
Okay, so how do you put Taker then in the ring?
See, I had a big problem about that too.
Oh.
So for me, okay. I'm consistent with these type of characters. I never really put much stock into Undertaker as far as like his wrestling ability so much. I mean, he's a good character, whatever. I never liked the hocus pocus, the lights off, lights on, the calling the thunder, the lightning to the ring post. I just thought, okay, that's beyond the pale for me as a wrestling fan.
You do understand that WWE is entertainment, right? You do know it's entertainment. Okay. Because I know that,
But we also understand that it is wrestling entertainment.
Okay.
Right?
See, you
ain't in Game of Thrones or Hocus Pocus.
Most of you AEW fans just like wrestling. You don't care much about the entertainment part. But it's the entertainment part
wrestling
that keeps. You say what?
Wrestling is entertaining.
Okay, so to.
Are you not entertained by watching people wrestle?
I am entertained by that, but to also have a character to go along with that is just as important. Okay?
Of course.
To have someone just walk out to the ring and wrestle is just like, okay, well, that's great. He's doing flippy shit. Okay, now what?
When you start introducing characters like the Boogeyman, like the Fiend. I mean, we'll stick to the Fiend, like the Fiend.
Right.
This man is obviously deranged.
Yes.
How? First of all, who hired this man, knowing that he's obviously this wacky? And two, you know, his character is such, I'm like, why do you even care about wrestling?
I don't think because the average fan is thinking about who hired him. I think what they're thinking is, how is he presenting himself on the screen that we're looking at? I'm kind of like, this dude is kind of freaky. I wouldn't necessarily want to be left in a building with this dude. Okay? I'm sold in it. I'm not looking at this as, oh, this is, you know, I don't understand what he's doing. I don't understand his character. No, I get it. He's cray-cray, and I don't want to be around cray-cray. Do you see what I'm saying?
Creative as it is, and he is very creative character. It's just, for me, it just doesn't fit within the confines of the square circle. I just don't get, like, why he cares. Like, why do you care about winning championships? I don't think he ever once cut a promo talking about why he even wanted the championship.
So, I think when you don't have a character like the Fiend, when you don't have a character like that nowhere on TV at all, okay? And then he introduced himself as this scary monster to the point where even kids might be a little bit afraid. When he enters into WWE, the first thing is, yes, he is going to take the belt and everyone's going to be afraid to fight him. And if they did fight him, the chances of them winning would be somewhat slim. Now, of course, that's not technically the way it's being portrayed, because, of course, we know how the writers are with WWE. At the same time, though, that is exactly what I'm thinking when I see the Fiend. When I see the Fiend, it goes, who would want to fight him? We've already seen the type of games he play. We've already seen, you know, the type of moves he do, which, of course, they're Bray Wyatt moves, but, you know, fine. Okay.
Right. Yeah, because he's freaking Bray Wyatt.
I know that. I know that. Afraid of him. But
he's the same dude. It's not like he changed his name. It's Bray Wyatt. He's just unhinged and he puts a mask on. And poor Seth Rollins. And, you know.
But again, if somebody is that.
They destroyed that character.
But again.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, the collateral damage that this character, that the Fiend has spread. Like, I mean, Seth Rollins was. The image that I. When I think of the Fiend, I think of Seth Rollins in the corner, seated in the corner, crying. Trembling at the sight of this character.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, all that is Bray Wyatt in the mask. What are you doing?
So not only but that's your problem. You're not sold into the character.
They sacrificed.
That becomes.
I think the character doesn't fit. It's a character that doesn't belong in a combat, a scripted
Brian,
form
this,
of combat.
I just sports. Figured out the problem. It's a you problem. It's a you problem. Okay, sorry, dude. It's a you problem. The whole idea.
Both of our problems are.
Okay, whenever we watch in wrestling, we're just supposed to just have disbelief into what's going on around us and into the world of what we're seeing right there in front of us. Okay, and if you're not being sold on what you're seeing, and I know that. The Fiend is doing a good job.
It just, again, and I think, you know, you were saying it's a me problem. And yeah, maybe it is.
Yes.
I think it's just, we just have a difference of opinion as far as like our taste in wrestling.
Right.
Like, I like my pro wrestling to be more based about the wrestlers. And sure, they're all characters. You know, you're not just a guy going to the middle of the ring, side of character doing the flippity shit like you mentioned. Just for example, like AEW, Darby Allin's a character.
Right.
Jimmy Havoc is a character.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes is a character. But they're all characters that fit the paradigm of portraying these athletes who compete competitively in pro wrestling.
All right. Well, we will have to agree and disagree on there. I think, you know, we'll give you another year or so, you know, watching Bray. And maybe you'll come around. You'll come back on the next show and you'll be like, you know what, D? You're right. It was me.
That'll never happen, but I love your optimistic feelings on that one. But we can both agree that, hey, Bray Wyatt is a talented performer and a talented wrestler. For sure. Like, the guy is one of the best that they have when it comes to to just his performances and all that. So I give him all that. Like I said, I'm just talking about this character.
Three.
Trained. I'm just not a fan.
Four.
But I'm a fan of the man.
Five. Get out of the corner.
I want a clean fight between you two. All right? You ready? Stay out of the corner and stay off the buckle.
All right, here. So we have now Micah from Kansas City here. She's also going to try to put me in the corner. What you want to talk about, Micah? Go.
First, let me say, I got to holler at you about these empty arena shows.
Okay.
Okay? That's what I got to put you in a corner about. Listen, I get it.
Okay.
I get the reason why they're doing it.
Okay.
That's not my issue.
Okay.
But it's just not, first of all, without the audience.
Okay. Which I love.
It doesn't have that. It doesn't have that energy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have any life.
You don't need energy. Like, the energy is coming from the actual wrestlers themselves. That's the only energy you need. Yeah, go ahead.
But that's not true. First of all, if you would ask the wrestlers whether they want to perform in front of nobody or they would like to perform in front of full house, and then you can tell me where the energy comes from.
It's not the wrestler's job to decide.
There's no way.
They are.
You can duplicate the energy of the fans.
They are employees. They are employees. They have a job to do, and they're supposed to go out there and do that job. Yes.
But again, my question is, ask them, if you were to say, hey, you want one person
why do I need to
chair,
ask them?
Or you want to dance, you want to do your dance,
if
your
I'm
ring
the,
dance
if I'm the,
in front of 20,000 people,
if,
what do you
if
think
I'm the boss
say?
Of my company, I really don't care what the employee want to do, what they prefer. I need you to go out there and work. If it's in front of 10,000 people or it's in front of zero, which is what they have, I need them to go do all the moves that I spent all my, gave them all the resources to actually do, and which I'm paying them very well to do. That's what I need for them to do. Yes.
They gonna do that, but that doesn't mean the show is not gonna suck. Okay? Yeah, they can get out there, and I appreciate what they're doing, but it's not going to be up to the level if it was a full crowd.
I'm not too exactly sure. I agree with that.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, even today, I heard Becky even say the man that she wants to perform in front of it, because she knows that even if she gets out there and does her hardest, like every other talent out there, which they do, they go out there and work because that's their job.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that they don't want the pyro. That doesn't mean that they don't want to have their music playing. That doesn't mean they don't want the energy from the crowd. That doesn't mean that they don't
bounce off each other with the crowd. If Becky wants pyro right now, then she could go over to AEW, because they're still providing pyro for an empty stadium if she just feels that's something she
needs. What? That's a good ass idea. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. She should just take her ass right on over to AEW.
Listen,
are doing pyro, where they still managing to put on a decent show, when WWE cannot even put on a decent show where they want to spend two hours showing you some old ass matches that nobody even cares about.
Well, look,
as far as I'm
concerned, when they show me those old matches, that allows me to not have to go back and look at anything on the network. So it's actually an advantage for me. I actually enjoy it. It actually reminds me just how great a lot of the front. Yes, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
All of that content is available on. So why are you duplicating the content when you can go to the WWE network and see it?
Look,
so why don't you want to see something
besides
different on
all
your
of
network
that,
TV?
Okay.
Not that you got on the WWE network.
Check this.
So you telling me that you want to have duplicated programming on the WWE network show on USA?
Let's go back to your original theory here about the fact that the fact they don't have audience is not making the show hype or enjoyable. Let me break this down to you right quick. Now, most of the time, the audience seem to be quite confused anyway on who they're going to cheer for and boo for, which automatically just makes the whole thing ridiculous. The heels are supposed to get booed, yet they get cheered. The faces are supposed to get love, yet they get booed. if the audience is just that confused on who they're supposed to cheer for and love, then what's the point of even having them in the arena in the first place? I'd rather not have any of them. To me, it actually is more enjoyable without the fans. I'm sorry.
First of all,
yeah,
fans that are dropping their dollars, their coins, their cents, they can cheer and boo whoever the hell they want to. If I decide this person sucks, I decide this person sucks because I paid to decide that this person sucks. That energy still comes forth, whether they cheer or boo or whatever it is. That's the lifeblood of a show. If you got a crappy show with a great audience, that can make the show even better. If you got a show that's pretty good, you got a good audience, that can make it even better. If you got a show that's good and you got a crappy audience, that brings the show down, which means it has an effect on how it is perceived by the fans, by the wrestlers in the ring.
Okay, well, look, you know what? Again, this is going to have to be one of those things where we just have to agree to disagree, because as far as I'm concerned, I have been just enjoying what I have been seeing from both brands, to be honest with you, because it's just great to see a different idea. You know, we've been trained how to like wrestling with the fans and everything in the background, but now they have to be somewhat creative and it has to be different. And we suspend all of the real world things anyway when we're watching wrestling, right? So why do we need to have the fans anyway in the background to help us suspend that when they get it wrong anyways? So as far as I'm concerned, I'm gonna leave you in the corner, Miss Mike.
You're not leaving me in the corner. We already know that I am right. And this, you brought up creativity.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not being creative. Mm. It's boring. There's nothing creative about it. You know what they need to do? Why don't they take this time, instead of doing empty arena shows, to take a break? So how about that they can get in the writer's room and come up something that actually is creativity? How about they come up with a storyline that's going to be going for longer than 2 days? How about they actually take the time, start over, do some writing, and give us some shit that we enjoy once they come, that can come back with the audience? Okay, so we can agree to disagree, but we all know I'm right. So you in the corner.
Mm.
4, 5, get out of the corner.
I want a clean fight between you two. All right, you ready? Stay out of the corner and stay off the buckle.
So right now we got Garth Wall here on the phone from Finley Mazda. He's going to try to get me in the corner here by talking about WWE Super Showdown. What you got, Garth? Go ahead.
Oh, it's got me salty. That's what it's got me.
Okay.
I think that Vince McMahon is nothing more than a pimp.
Huh?
That is pimping out his people to the highest bidder.
Oh, man, please explain that. I don't even know where you're going with that.
Man, these sheiks and these oil money jackasses,
okay,
are trying to book talent that has been dead for years.
First off, you don't have a problem with people that's got money, do you? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, I got no problem with people with money.
Okay, okay.
But I have problem with people with money causing people without money to bend their knees and acquiesce to their stupid requests. Give us Andre the Giant versus Macho Man. They're dead.
Are you saying that that's what they said?
They're trying to book. They still request people and storylines that mean nothing. They don't further anything. It's just bottom dollar. And then when they make their ladies and some of their talent that may have come from a different part of the world that they don't agree with,
right,
stay at home, the Sami Zayns.
Yeah.
I think it's just dirty.
Look, okay, first off, look, I'm not a big fan of Showdown or whatever. Folks on the show know that I'd always say, listen, I don't watch it. But the bottom line is that the wrestlers have a choice if they want to show to this event or not. And they also know that if they go to the show, they're going to make big top dollars. You know, and as far as the women are concerned, I'm pretty sure most of them don't want to fly over anyway to participate in the show. So I don't see no issue here. You know, if people who want to watch Super Showdown, by all means, you know, they can sit and they watch it. But it seems like for the most part, it's a great deal for the wrestlers. Tell me how I'm wrong on that.
Okay, so a drug addict,
mm-hmm,
you know, can go into the house with drugs, but doesn't necessarily have to partake. Of course, this is how they pay for themselves. But the fact the guy at the head, the McMahon, pimping his people out, at, you know, how much is he getting paid for him to turn around and pay them what they're making.
Oh, I'm sure he is making Google money. But that's what it's all about now. It's all about the money. So I don't know if
I
don't know if he is pimping them out or maybe they're just willing whores. No offense to sex workers.
Hey, hoes gonna make money too. But the fact that they completely changed storylines, they completely just, I mean, they bring that, I mean, God bless the Undertaker. This man has busted his ass.
True.
And built a legacy for 30 plus years for this company.
True.
Never jumped ship when he had big money thrown at him and gets put in a match over there where he looks like garbage.
And you know,
and
what?
This is all over his legacy.
Right. But is it really affecting his legacy at all? I mean, Taker
is
Taker.
His body of work.
He can't do any wrong. Any so-called bad match, we'll just write it off. Okay? Because again, when you got 30 years, we're looking at, even if you're saying 29 great years of or even 29 great matches, it's more than that. But of course, let's say even if you had 29 years, 29 great matches, that one match is not going to be what he's going to be defined as. Okay.
No, but it's going to destroy it. I'm sorry. People bring up Undertaker. This new generation that is just starting to see him on his exit, they don't have that body of work to pull from those of us that have been watching.
You know,
it forever.
This new generation just need to go back on the network and they need to rewatch all of Taker so they can have a good idea of his work and don't have any judgment on it. But the bottom line is that Super Showdown, if people listen, we already know it's a glorified house show, you know, and if they want to,
it's not even that. The people aren't even into it. They sit in recliners ringside, and it's like they don't even cheer. It's like they just yay.
Garth,
you know, the
if
Goldberg
I,
comes out, all they know is the Goldberg chant. That's it.
Let me be
Goldberg,
real with you, Garth.
Goldberg, true. It's it.
Garth, and let me tell you, let me just be real with you right now. If I had an opportunity to sit in a recliner on the front row of an event, I'll do it. A cushy...
Man, I sit front row in great chairs all the time, every event I go to. And that's, trust me, these guys, they're not even there for it. They're sitting there on their phones. They're on social media. They're walking around with their waiters coming to their... It's beyond... I'm sorry. I just...
Listen.
I think that McMahon is just a big-ass pimp, and he's putting his people on the corner to see how much you can get for him.
Well, look, the bottom line is this. In that country, they have their princesses. I don't know, they have princesses, just prince, right? Just they have a prince, they have their king, and they live in royalty. And if they want to dictate what they want WWE to do because they have all the cashola, then that's what they get. Bottom line is, if you don't think that they should be doing that, then just don't even pay attention to the show, you know, because Vince McMahon, you saying he's pimping. I wouldn't necessarily say he's pimping. I'm just saying he loves that cash. And guess what? His wrestlers do, too. They'll keep going back there all the time.
They deserve the cash. Okay, great. Okay, if you're going to put on a show down there, this and that, but let it be cohesive with the storylines they've got going on. Stand your ground, back your people up. Okay, I don't care that you don't like where Sami Zayn's nationality, but he's in a hot storyline right now, so if you want to book the show, turn around. I think when they pick and choose, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth for the old fart.
Well, better yet... Sami Zayn should just change his religion, and we can change all of
four,
that.
Boom.
Oh, yeah, that's five, there we
get
go.
Out of the corner.
I want a clean fight between you two. All right? You ready? Stay out of the corner and stay off the buckle.
All right, so with us, we have Shant, one of the Vegas Bad Boy listeners here with us, and he's going to try to put me in the corner. So, Shant, tell me what you got.
Well, thank you for having me here. My biggest issue with WWE is I'm seeing reports that WrestleMania is coming in. It's right around the corner, you know, we're getting ready. Mm-hmm. And what we're excited for WrestleMania is it's live. We love the live stuff that happens with WWE. We live for it.
Okay.
And Vince McMahon always says nothing can go wrong when it's live. But then we get reports that WWE is going to be taping WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little bit of a problem with that. You know, WrestleMania is like, it's a pay-per-view, obviously, and usually their pay-per-views are...
Let me ask. Let me just ask you this. Just starting off now. I mean, when you record a show, you're guaranteed to get sort of a better product. Would you not say that if you're doing it live and you mess up and it's like, oh man, now it's a real shitty product.
Well, that's the best thing about live is when you get those mess ups. You know, it's not like it's that when we see a show. It's like, oh, we see it there. We expect that. So, no, live is like when you get that good feeling. You get that good, excitement feeling. Like it's exciting. You know, fans get excited. Fans get rowdy. And it's like a really good feeling.
Yeah, I get that. But you know what? The reality of it is, you know, just like when we watch television shows, when we watch movies, all those are recorded. We get excited when we've been... You're probably one of these ones watching this... what's this one on Netflix that everyone keeps talking about? What is it? Tiger King or something?
Oh,
yeah.
Tiger King, I think?
Yeah, whatever. Okay, everybody loves all of that. You know, it's all recorded. You know, none of that stuff is live. You know, I don't know what the show about, but apparently, you know, I guess there's no live version of a tiger eating a person, which would actually be pretty great if that was. But the fact that everything is recorded, I think, makes everything that much better. I think we have to get out of this whole idea of things just always being live.
I do agree, Beth. Sure, some of the best shows that they have is better when it's not live. But when it comes to live sports entertainment, or pretty much of sports, it's always live. Am I correct? Like, you get the NBA and they're live, right?
Well, sure, but even if for some reason you were to watch a delayed version of it, it would still be the same because it's your first time seeing it.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
But in short terms, I think WWE is digging themselves their own graves when they're recording WrestleMania like that, because you can do some of the matches that they have right now on the card. Yeah, I get it that they're gonna have to do some taping. I get it. But the point is that when you have WrestleMania, pretty much any pay per view when you have. It's live entertainment that you must be focusing on. When it's live, it's pure, it's organic, and it gets the fans really into it.
You know, look, I was actually supposed to go to WrestleMania this year, and I'm not going to be going. And that part right there is a disappointment. But you know, now knowing that you know that all of these shows are going to be pre-recorded, I'm now expecting one of the best WrestleManias that I have seen without having an audience there. There should be no letdown, no issues at all. I'm expecting this to be the best because it is recorded. And I even hear the Raw after it is recorded. Even better. Even to start off saying now, if there's nothing that can go wrong from this point if it is recorded. I think recorded, I'm not saying that it should be that way going forward, but as far as this is concerned, hey, why not? What difference is it going to make? I tell you this, if they didn't tell us that it was going to be recorded and we watched it, we would think that it was live anyway.
Right, that's correct. If they didn't tell us it was going to be recorded, then I think the fans would still think it's live. But now that it's being recorded that they're going to be taping it, I think it's still a letdown for the fans. It's like, we're gonna be expecting this, and then there's gonna be spoilers on the internet because God forbid people want to spout out spoilers onto the internet of what WrestleMania or pretty much any show is gonna be like nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's only gonna be spoilers if one of the wrestlers who did the taping decide to want to go and spread that information. Other than that, it's gonna be no way no one can spoil it until after it airs. I think we're going to be safe in this situation. I think having a tape show is going to, or and should be, better than if it was live and there was just a bunch of mess ups. You know what I mean? Because then if there's a bunch of messed up, then that's now what the conversation becomes. Not only was it not only was the show canceled and they have nobody in the arena, but now they are doing screw ups in the ring. I mean, just keep adding on to the and piling up to the craziness that's going on right now. I don't know. I'm gonna actually agree with WWE in being recording this particular show.
I'm okay if they tape a Raw or SmackDown show because that is their weekly television show. However, on certain circumstances, on this, I know it's a very tough time, but WWE is back to a point. They have one of their biggest shows of the year. Everyone looks forward to WrestleMania, but in my personal opinion, it is not okay to have WrestleMania taped. It is really not okay because what if they tape it and then spoilers go out and then they go and then they slide it out on the internet and let's say like AJ Styles beats Undertaker and then all of a sudden when we watch it, Undertaker beats AJ Styles. So that's why I have a problem with it.
Well, yeah, I get. Shows, mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. Shows, mm-hmm.
They do so many damn finishes for any particular reason at all.
Well, again, although I understand what you're saying, I don't think you're gonna have to worry about anybody at all spoiling this show for you. Now, if you was friends with our Vegas Bad Boy member King Lucky, and you happen to be in a chat with that guy, if for some reason you have a 10-second delay, you will more likely get everything spoiled for you from him than you probably would from any of the wrestlers at the show, okay? That I can guarantee that to happen, okay? Other than that, I think you're going to be okay. I think after you see this, you're going to not only be surprised that that there were not any spoilers, but that it was a damn good show. And I bet you starting next year, when they're hopefully back in a stadium, you're probably going to wish, man, they probably should just record it again. You know? I think you might end up saying that because it was just that
one,
damn good.
Two.
Believe me,
three,
I know what I'm talking about.
Four, five, get out of the corner.
Hey, Shant, sorry I got to put you in the corner, man. It's all good, though. Finish up what you had to say, though.
Maybe they will change my mind. Who knows? But here's one thing. I'm still not a fan of this taping of WrestleMania. Still not my thing. I don't know what to expect from it. All I have to say is, like, this weekend, make sure, let's just wait this weekend out. But thank you.
All right. So with that, that is the end of the show. Again, this is just for fun. It's just for entertainment. If you feel that you can try to put me in the corner as I feel I can put you in the corner, just hit us up. If you got a Skype address, it'll be easier to get in contact with you. But you got to let me know. Let us know. Hit us up at the Vegas Bad Boy social media, our Instagram, our Facebook. Always DM us. We'll hit you back or straight out email. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting at gmail.com. All right, hope you have fun. Let's do it again. Until then, I'm DJ Impact.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.